Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 107. Walter Ferlin, you're running for Ward 3, Hamilton City Councilor. Welcome to the Public Records, the 155 Podcast.
Thank you, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Joey, I'm a lifelong Hamiltonian, 30 years in the steelworks at various steel mills in the city here, a business owner, family man with two sons that we have in the Canadian Forces, and one that works with me in the conservation business on Bart Street. My wife's a professional and a former elite athlete. We live above our storefronts down at Bart Street. I care about my neighborhood.
Why are you running?
Well, I've been compelled to run by my recent experiences in Ward 3. People deserve to be happy, and you can't be happy if you don't feel safe. Every day, people are telling me about their safety concerns. Every day, I have to tell people to have hope that it'll get better. Streets and speeding are common and major concerns across our ward, Ward 3, and much of the city. Air quality and garbage, derelict properties, and absentee landlords. The downtown is gentrifying, and developers have made no secret that they wish to remove social services from the downtown. In Ward 3, we already have a very high concentration of these services, and the pressures will increase. When displaced from downtown, these social services don't ever seem to go south or west, they go to the east. Ward 3 has done its part. It's time for the rest of the city to help shoulder the load. Encampments, homelessness, and people dealing with mental illness. I feel for these folks in difficult circumstances. Unfortunately, this can sometimes lead to violence, property crime, indecent acts. There was literally a dumpster fire next door to us a few weeks ago. Last month, there was a murder in an encampment 100 meters from my shop. There have been shootings and stabbings. Every day, we see the sex trade workers and other people struggling with addictions and distress. We are empathetic, but these situations are also very scary. In Hamilton, you can operate a food truck 200 meters from another food outlet, and there's no regulation about where you can set up an injection clinic. There are two proposed in Ward 3 near special needs groups, multiple schools, and daycares. Injection clinics are not without safety concerns and serious security concerns as well. Our counselor informed us in a community meeting she attended 7 months after we first asked her to meet with us that there are more injection clinics planned in Ward 2 and 3, and their locations are purposely being withheld from the public. There has been little or no community consultation on these locations. Somebody has to stick up for the residents here, families and businesses of Ward 3. I'm running to give Ward 3 a stronger voice at City Hall. We can do better, and I will stand up for Ward 3.
Do you live in Ward 3, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Oh, I think so. I've come to know that each neighborhood has its own needs and concerns, also strengths. Solutions are not always one size fits all. We've also experienced that when trying to solve one problem, if you're not careful, there's unintended consequences. Thorough understanding of the community is essential.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I lived and I've set up my business in the three storefronts I own on Barton Street. This allowed me to meet very many interesting people I would not have otherwise known. From giving heritage homeowner advice to helping someone when their landlord has illegally turned off the hydro. I can say to you that the one time lady came to my shop and she has a broken window on top of her second story with the kids running around up there. So we go over, we fix the window. Of course, there was not any funds to pay, which was fine. You know, that's what we do. You know, sometimes we get paid. And in this case, a nice ethnic meal ends up at my shop door. These are some of the things we do. I also provide professional services across Ontario and in New York State and as far away as Newfoundland. But I'm also able to provide the affordable restoration repair services to local homeowners and tenants as well. I keep my storefronts clean. My sidewalk is swept and weed-free. I've created a beautiful Euro garden in the back alley. This year is a specialty are the dahlias. We have many different varieties growing back there. And it seems to be a little thing, but I try to do things that brightens people's days every day. And I've been also the chair of the cycling advisory committee for the city here, and also been on the heritage committee for a number of years here in the city. I've advocated against illegal storefront conversions at the Committee of Adjustment. Our shops on Barton Street have turned into a sort of community center where people meet and chat. We solve problems. For many years, we've had the last Friday of the month socials that bring people together. We stopped them during COVID, and if elected, I intend to convert one of my three storefronts into a municipal office and to have office hours right here in Ward 3.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 3 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
Improving safety in Ward 3. Many of the tools to address Ward 3 problems already exist, but there aren't enough of them being actioned. Measures exist to address speeding, straight racing, modified vehicles, noise and air pollution, derelict properties, drug dealing, garbage, and graffiti. There needs to be stronger implementation here. I support the police. I support more resources being put into municipal law enforcement. Addressing also the parks and the rec deficit here is very important, especially organized sports and recreation for the kids. The last major sports infrastructure project, the stadium, has been a fail in our ward. We've lost the ball fields, the soccer fields, our only arena, Scott Park, our minor sports associations at Scott Park. When there's big ticket items going on, big ticket events at the stadium, fences are sometimes put up around the stadium to keep us out. We got promises, but in reality, this Brightside Park, the promise of the Brightside Park and the Studebaker Park to be parks for the kids, they're strewn with rubble and weeds at this time. As a matter of fact, over at the Brightside Park, the Ticats use that for tailgating. Movies are being done there, and it's just a dumping ground, it seems, for the demolished buildings on King Street. It's full of rubble right now. So this has gone on now, 7 years post-Pan Am. I've got to strive to bring the amenities back as soon as possible, the sports amenities. We need basketball, soccer, hockey, skating programs, leagues right here in Ward 3. We don't even have a skate park in Ward 3. These types of programs also help the kids build the resilience, the capital social, and the healthy decision-making skills that they need to avoid the bad outcomes in the future. Sarah Nurse, who is on the national hockey team for Canada, played at Scott Park, played her minor hockey there. Arbor Jacki, who's with the Bulldogs, went to the Memorial Cup, drafted by one of the greatest teams in Canadian history, the Montreal Canadiens. He's been drafted by them, played his minor sports, Scott Park Arena. That's now gone. But we can build champions here, but we got to build this stuff back. For the city, greater transparency. There's a culture of secrecy right now at City Council. We've seen Sewergate, the entertainment district deal, the cost of the Grey Cup, and recently in our ward, the introduction of injection clinics without any meaningful community consultation. We need transparency here. Fair distribution of social services. This is a huge issue for Ward 3. The incumbent has seemingly welcomed any and all social services, disregard with the unintended consequences for their introduction. Endorsing an injection clinic three doors down from an agency serving special needs kids and around the corner from multiple daycares and elementary schools just doesn't make any sense. Our radial separation for cannabis stores in Hamilton exceeds provincial standards, but we still have three less than 200 meters from each other and less than 200 meters from two primary schools and daycares. We have no zoning policies in the books, as far as I know, according to an email from Jason Thorne, for the location of injection clinics. Instead, we defer to the province and the feds to determine the appropriateness of proposed locations. We need better planning for any of these community-based services.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 3 on Hamilton City Council?
Anybody that knows me, I'm a high implementer. I'll get the job done. My forte as a councillor will be listening and taking action. I'm not afraid to meet with people face-to-face, and I plan to have a constituency officer right here in Ward 3. I'm a facilitator. I've experienced working in a union environment for 30-plus years. I was on the grievance committee as chair and also on health and safety committees within the steelworks. As a business person, I've worked with some of the greatest architects in Canada on national heritage sites, but I'm also comfortable, very comfortable, resolving conflict with vulnerable people on Barton Street. I'm principled. I have no political affiliation, so I'm not bound to any political party's ideology. My affiliation is Ward 3. I did not aspire to be a politician, Joey, but I've been compelled by what I see as failures in government in respect to our Ward 3 constituency.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up. before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Okay, well, trust in public institutions is at an all-time low. Keeping information secret breeds way more cynicism and disengagement. I would argue that there is an urgent need to seek and keep the public as informed as possible at all times. Now more than ever, keeping costs secret just feels patronizing. Our current council has said something to the effect, "Don't worry, the entertainment district deal is a fair deal. It's our money. We deserve to know what's happening and how it's being used." We also need to improve on organizational culture at City Hall, where whistleblowers are protected and employees are empowered to speak up. Unless there's a strong legal opinion that something needs to be kept confidential, perhaps a personnel issue or something like that, information should always be made public.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
Well, an enormous amount of time and money has been spent towards this inquiry. It will get serious scrutiny and full review, and the findings should be made public.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
We've already experienced a significant challenge in the LRT and its planning and implementation, with people being displaced. There has been community outreach communication along the corridor, but a little bit adjacent to this corridor. This has caused a lot of stress and anxiety and uncertainty amongst some of the residents in Ward 3. On the campaign trail, people still ask me about my position on LRT. There's a general sense of fatigue, though. We need a strong voice in Ward 3 for this project. As I said, the last major infrastructure project was the stadium, and it has been a fail in our ward. Development of charges and other funds realized along the LRT in Ward 3 need to be kept in Ward 3 to compensate for the loss of infrastructure which has occurred in the stadium precinct project. A whole generation of kids in Ward 3 have gone without pretty basic programming in recreation and pretty basic infrastructure for sports.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 3 you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
June 11, 1925, the first traffic lights were installed at the Delta here in Ward 3. They were the first ones in Canada. And it just goes to show you that Ward 3 actually was a source of innovation throughout Canada. We made most of the materials for the country here right in Hamilton and specifically in the north end of Ward 3. It's something to be proud of for sure.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 3 which remain under the 1952 former City of Hamilton residential zoning bylaw. What is your vision for residential zoning in Ward 3?
I'm for inclusionary zoning. I'm against housing people in commercial storefronts and on commercial corridors or in windowless basements of commercial buildings or in tents. The housing's just not good enough. It has to be really thought through. You have to make good housing. We need better housing solutions, and if we can accomplish this through zoning, all the better. I would investigate implementing secondary zoning plans for Ward 3 in response to the fact that we have so many older buildings and building stock in this ward with unique needs. I believe we should be keeping our older buildings as much as possible with adapted reuse wherever applicable. Architects like Julian Smith and Clinton Brown have done amazing things with older buildings. From an environmental standpoint, an existing building is always the greenest building. I would also insist upon a secondary plan that includes provision that before any demolition permit is issued in Ward 3, and perhaps across the city, a detailed site plan would need to be approved. We have got a legacy of tearing down our buildings, our heritage buildings, our cultural assets, sometimes iconic ones, for example, James Street Baptist, and all we have left in place is a parking lot if we're lucky, in the case of James Street Baptist, we had a rubble pit, basically, sitting there.
And it should be noted that the city does not classify the James Street Baptist demolition as a demolition. According to the city, it is a minor alteration. How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
It's a tricky issue. In my experience, it's not really the dwelling that's controversial, it's the people part of the equation. An absentee landlord and disruptive tenants are where the trouble will lie. Conversions are an issue across our ward. I recently met with Helen in the south of the ward, a retiree and caregiver of her husband who has been in her home for more than 30 years. The house on one side was converted to a fourplex. Sadly, there was an overdose death there this spring. On the other side, there was an illegal fiveplex. One tenant there was recently released from the jail after serving a sentence for running a bicycle chop shop there. We also are facing big, huge issues with conversions in the north of Ward 3. People in illegal storefronts, basements, and poorly renovated substandard conversions to triplexes and more. This issue needs to not just policy, but hands-on counselor to work with good landlords and make sure the bad landlords are keeping up their side of the bargain.
There are 6 LRT stops planned for Ward 3. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for major transit areas, and how will you implement that vision?
Safe, well-lit, accessible, and exclusive hubs. Safe for kids coming and going, biking to parks, carrying their sports equipment, etc. A sense of place and a place worth caring about. That means the design is going to be very important. For example, heights and setbacks need to be looked at very carefully here.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 3. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
Wherever I am in our ward, people are talking about road safety. You don't have to spend much time as a pedestrian on Main or King during rush hour, or basically during any hour, to feel unsafe. As I said before, the people in the community are the experts. We can't keep hiring 6-figure consultants every time we want to make an intervention on our roads. I wouldn't look at any changes unless the community has had its say. I'm hearing requests for more meaningful bump outs, stop signs, chicanes to slow the traffic down. In the areas where traffic volumes do not warrant excess lanes, I would look at closing some of those unneeded lanes and widening sidewalks and installing bump outs. We were able to do something like this on Barton Street. It made a huge difference. Although the bump outs that I advocated for on behalf of the community, did take 8 years to get in, and unfortunately, a person had to die after being hit by a vehicle there at the corner of Lottridge and Barton. I'd have police enforce illegal modified vehicles, get them off the road, such as ones that have heavy tinted windows and tailpipe conversions. I think that's going to do a lot for road safety.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters that come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I have 7 years of post-secondary education, but one thing I've learned, especially in my years living and operating my business on Barton Street, is that you can't learn it all in a book. Whether worker knowledge is really important, so is residential knowledge, the residents. We shouldn't immediately call in the expert to try to solve all our city problems. We need to get out there and talk to people affected. They're the experts. I've knocked on perhaps over 1,000 doors already, and I intend to reach thousands more. I'm learning what's important to the people and getting the ideas on the best ways to address our challenges. I've heard it said that it takes 10 years to accumulate 10,000 hours. I worked in the steel mills for about 30 years. I've been on Barton Street since 2013. I can't think of a better training ground to learn how to relate to and advocate for people and to get things done. Joey, I have a stack of city staff business cards about 3 inches high. I know who to call in planning, garbage, municipal law, bylaw, and property standards, you name it. My internship has been living and working on Barton Street. Frankly, for this campaign, I have surrounded myself with people who are smarter than me, and I don't intend to change that once I'm in office.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
Improved responsiveness and access to your counselor. Empower staff to do their jobs and speak up.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
In Ward 3, improve safety, road, crime, and neighborhood safety, and increase park space and recreation amenities.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, and what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
For me, I'd say responsiveness, compassionate, impactful, and I could say the same for council as a whole, but I would use maybe three different words: collaborative, transparent, and efficient.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
Thanks very much, Joey. I really appreciate this, for you doing taking the time to do this. But I only have two campaign promises I'm going to offer here. I'll respond to you promptly by phone or in person, and I'll have an office presence in Ward 3. And in regards to the first one, give it a try. Call me. And I encourage everyone to contact me by phone or email, or stop by our campaign headquarters at 765 Barton Street East. Our door is almost always open. We live there. And unless we're out canvassing, we won't be there maybe sometimes. But we also have a drop-in coffee time on Tuesdays 1 to 3. We also have hot dog socials where we have a hot dog cart come into our backyard. And we're starting that up at Fridays starting on August 12th. And it'll be every 2 weeks after that. And of course, I'd like to encourage everyone to get out and vote.
How do people contact you, your website, and other contact information?
It's walterforward3@gmail.com. walterforward3.ca is the website. We also have Instagram, Facebook, and some other things my team tells me.
This has been episode 107 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the press club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.